Welcome to Success AF, Customer Success Podcast Series. We are JD.
And this is Elena.
And through short and insightful discussions and interviews, we will be exploring a variety of customer success topics and challenges and ponder multicultural nuances that create a unique twist. In this episode, we talk about the ubiquitous success plan and what makes a good success plan, how to measure effectiveness, and how to make them more effective and more. So before we begin, just a reminder to remember to subscribe to our podcast, whether you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
All right. Thanks, JD. Good to see you today. Have you got a coffee ready for our next chat?
Yes, I had two earlier. So I'm
so
definitely
ready to go.
Ready to go. Yeah. I had a Mexican blend, actually. Ooh, it was nice. Really good. So fruity, more syrupy.
Cinnamony?
Less cinnamony, but okay. Yes, a bit of spice. So you're spot on that. How about you? What are you having today?
It's a very milky latte, and it's a Kenyan natural. I've forgotten the tasting notes, but I'm going to give it another go in a couple of days. I think our machine needs descaling, so I don't think I'm getting the true flavor profile through.
Right. That's about coffee. It's always about calibration, and, you know, make it every single day. You have to make sure that you get the weightage, you get the flavor correct. And I feel it's a bit like customer success, right? We're always recalibrating, you know, managing our customers, managing their expectations, and then coming back to a standardization on what is good or what looks good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good analogy. I agree.
Yeah. I think our listeners would be very interested in our topic today about success plans, and especially for in-practice customer success professionals. They would want to figure out, how do we execute a good success plan, and what does a good success plan look like?
And the keys to effectiveness. You know, if we tie back to our second episode when we were discussing what is customer success, and to your point, how we're focused on delivering value that's aligned to outcomes, and that's where the success plan comes in terms of having a mechanism to, I guess, track and validate that we are achieving those outcomes. So something that's jointly agreed and owned between customer success and the customer, and then tracked through those regular success check-ins. And key to your point about recalibrating the coffee, the success plan also needs recalibration over time to make sure that you're still aligned with your customers' ever-changing needs.
I agree. Yeah. And ultimately, the success plan is there to deliver value, which ties back, as you said, to what we talked about in episode 2. It is delivering value and aligning with the outcomes of why the customer bought the solution in the first place. Yeah. So I'm really excited. What do you think are some of the key components of a good success plan, though?
So look, number one, as I mentioned, jointly agreed. There's no point us as success managers delivering a customer success plan that customer hasn't really agreed on. Then it's like us trying to dictate their priorities. Certainly we would work with the customer to shape the direction that's aligned with the experience that they're looking for, and help them in terms of understanding what's achievable with our software. But, you know, at the end of the day, it does need to be jointly agreed. What other features do you think, JD?
I think stakeholders, right? We talk about who owns which part of which processes. We need to bring together the stakeholders, whether it's, you know, stakeholders from the customer's end or stakeholders from our end, the software vendor's end. We need to make sure that the stakeholders are on the same page and they're clear of the next steps in the success plan, and also ensuring that we have a timeline. So key dates.
Yeah, absolutely. In the market,
right? We want to work towards achieving these outcomes within a specific time and ensuring that there is value being driven before renewal date.
Yeah.
Right.
Like any good project plan, right? You've got to have your SMART goals and objectives.
Exactly. I think that it is a very project management kind of relevant document or process. We do have a lot to learn in terms of implementing some project management ideas into success planning.
Yeah, definitely. So Gainsight talk about using success plans to achieve what they call predictable value delivery. That's where the customer success team predictably delivering value to customers. And that in turn drives the renewal rate, the upsell and cross-sell rate, sales references. And that's how you get to the predictable revenue model for the vendor.
Exactly. And these are the key things that customer success managers are usually incentivized on, or actually they are usually the OKRs of customer success manager. Renewal rates, upsell rates, sales reference rates, or how much value the CSM is actually bringing to the conversation. But sometimes I would also look at a success plan and think about perfection versus practicality.
Oh, God, yeah. you could spend a lot of time trying to make it perfect.
Yeah. How good should a customer success plan be? Or how good should a success plan be, right? Versus how practical should it be? I think it's often related to how big the deal size is or how much ARR of a contribution the customer is making to the vendor, and also where the existing implementation stays. So where I am from, you know, I work mostly in open source companies. Currently, most open source customers already have an existing implementation. Whereas if you're working in a proprietary software company like yourself, the customer may be starting from ground zero, right? And then we're starting from zero, moving them to one. It's an infinite increase. There's a lot of things to work on. So there is also a difference in implementing these success plans. I would say I have a more light and easy success plan oftentimes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about you. What does success plan look like where you are from?
So it's very much aligned to that deal value, really, in essence. So if we look at more of our scale team, then yeah, that's definitely more that kind of light and easy. I like referring it to that way. So it'll be a lower touch engagement and more of that tactical focus. And then definitely as we get into, you know, higher value customers and more complex implementations, then the success plan increases in complexity. And it's an interesting challenge as well, right? Because customers often move from maybe a starting customer where they don't necessarily have success. So when we get them, they might already have an existing implementation that is, you know, needs to be optimized. And so that's where the success plan is kind of that middle ground. It's not starting off fresh, but it's actually, it is more intense because some of it's kind of unpicking maybe what's already there as, you know, both their needs have evolved and our product has evolved.
And as we said, right, success plan is an ongoing document. So the customer could be with you for a 3-year-long journey already. Needs keep changing. You know, we have to recalibrate all the time. So yeah, how do you create? Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, I was thinking about creating the success plan, right? What are the key elements to creating a good success plan? I think it's including the stakeholders. We talked about this slightly earlier, including the executive sponsors of the solution. It could be your main POC. It could be a decision maker who is the manager of your POC, or the product owner or users, right? These are all key stakeholders, key people that I think we should include in creation of the success plan. And also ensuring that the success plan actually covers the existing objectives and business challenges of the customers, and making sure that we chart that out and focus on the best practices to aligning this business needs to how the solution can deliver on these objectives.
So just, you know, building on what you were saying in terms of needing to have those different stakeholders in that initial alignment session, all of those different stakeholders will have different needs and different criteria and outcomes that they're looking for. And that's where a really solid success plan actually covers recommendations that are strategic, and that's aligned to your exec sponsors and the outcomes they're looking for. And then in terms of your next level down, you start to get more operational stakeholders and they will have their outcomes. And then finally, the product owner, who is likely to be interested in much more tactical recommendations. And so you need to be aligned to each of those and yet still make sure that each recommendation has a clear objective and that we're able to, importantly, identify the data that will demonstrate the results. So to prove that we are realizing the value of that outcome.
Agreed. And it is, as we have constantly emphasized, a living, breathing document that needs to adapt to your customer's changing needs, right? If the customer has a changing roadmap or solution roadmap, we would need to adapt and see how our solution can continue to chart the course to achieve those business objectives. So it is a lot about fluidity and flexibility and adaptability in this success plan. I would say that what you started off in the beginning will keep changing, but it's ensuring that we are flexible and adaptable to what the customer's needs, but at the same time, you know, ensuring that there is a standardization on what a good success plan looks like. We would also talk about, I guess, best practices would be one of the key things that we always focus on so that the customer learns and understands better on how to best implement your solution. So those things are standard, but there are things that keep changing, such as customers' business objectives.
So, yeah, correct. Yeah.
So coming back to that, we talked a lot about stakeholders within the customer, but also internal stakeholders, right? We were talking about this earlier. The sales rep is definitely going to be involved, or we also call them account executives, the marketing, to ensure that we're always pushing out information on new features, new updates of your solution, because the vendor solution is always changing too, right? Always improving, always being worked on. And sometimes the more technical folks, such as the product managers, the software engineers, the solutions engineers, to ensure that they can hold that technical piece of the conversation throughout the success planning phase.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you think back to when Ian Chang joined us and we talked about the success sales partnership, I loved what he had to say, which was everyone owns the customer relationship. And that's very true, you know, in terms of bringing together all of those internal stakeholders. That's a key part of customer success. So the success plan needs to be aligned with the sales account plan. So where does the account executive plan to take the account in terms of growth and expansion? Those two things need to be synergistic. Marketing, absolutely. I think all software evolves pretty rapidly these days. And we rely heavily on marketing to help us get that message out about new features, new solutions, and our roadmap ahead.
Yeah. So personally, I do work closely with all these stakeholders, especially with marketing. They're great enablers of the work that we do, making sure that we do it in a consistent messaging format with the company's branding and the theme of the company. So at the same time, let's double click on stakeholders. We were talking about customers, the executives, we were talking about the POC or the users. There are often many layers working together on such a huge solution. They have different definitions of success and they may have different objectives. The decision maker may have purchased a solution for certain business objectives, but the end user may have different business challenges that they need to resolve also. So how do you manage that currently?
So I think, you know, we talked about that initial strategic alignment session, which is where you get the executive stakeholder, executive sponsor buy-in, link back to the purchasing decision and what the key driver was behind that, then it's also important to, as your relationship evolves and your partnership continues, when you revisit and validate those success criteria for each group through executive business reviews or quarterly business reviews is a great way to ensure that continued alignment across all of the stakeholders.
I guess as a general question I would have, or I did have previously, yeah, would be, what if you're not getting traction with your stakeholders?
Oh man, it's the worst.
It is. But I think it is a good question, and maybe we could discuss this in our future episodes.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great topic for a future episode. Yeah.
Stakeholder engagement.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you everyone for listening again today. Great to have you as always. So just to summarize at a high level, the ubiquitous success plan should always be jointly owned between us and the customer. It needs to be aligned to key stakeholder outcomes. Much like any project plan, it needs to be consistently tracked, have clear goals, outcomes, and be pegged to a time frame, and have the flexibility to change with business needs and priorities. So that's it for us today. Thank you again, everyone. As always, any feedback, advice, suggestions for future topics, you can reach us at hello@successaf.live. And please remember, hit the follow button to subscribe to the Success AF podcast series.